Again, we're so thankful that you have joined us today. If you don't know me, my name is Tanner Griffith, and I love every single week to remember my first time at church. So if you're the first time at church today, I want you to know how much I remember, you know, when you're looking for a new church, how kind of awkward that can be. Like, it's not irrelevant to me. So if you're new with us today, I want to just thank you for coming into the awkwardness, being part of that where you're like, where do I go? Where's the signs? Okay, that person's over there, but I don't want to talk to them. You know, whatever is going through in your mind, and it's that awkward church day, we're so glad that you have joined us and kind of pushed through that. One way we think you can kind of push through that is we would love to invite you, though, to stick around for 6 weeks. We find that if you kind of come, get acclimated, you can start getting connected and find maybe some people that you relate to. You might find, oh, I kind of like this music, or, man, I'm starting to appreciate the way they kind of speak, the way they teach the Bible. Whatever it is, we want to help you get connected. So however we can do that, I would love to do that because I know that awkward stage. So we want to get you into the family stage. That would be awesome. And again, I'm sorry to say, hey, stick with us while we're about to move, but just come with us. As we move, come on. We'd love you to join us up at Trinity Academy starting December 3rd. Today, we're just in a really cool passage in Corinthians where Paul's going to tell us what the Spirit does in all of us. He's going to show us his work and how he works in all of us. Last week, we started this little series that we're going to run all the way up through Advent, which is on the Spirit and what he does, who he is and what he does. Last week we talked about that the Holy Spirit is a person of the Trinity. He's not this force. He's not this just concept or kind of lesser God. He is fully God, and he works in a way that really reveals God's great love towards us. He opens our eyes. He opens our ears. He lets our hearts imagine the fullness of God and the fullness of his love towards us. This week, we're talking about how he really works here locally, what he does within us, not just personally, but as a church. So Paul's going to bring out some incredible examples, a great picture for us to think through today, which is think of a body. The way the Spirit works in us, in all of us, is he gifts us. And a good picture for that way that we're supposed to work together is our body. And this is a great week for, you know, me to, you know, teach on this, or season to teach on this, because a week and a half ago, last week, I don't know if you remember, I could kind of like my walking was like really stilted because I threw out my back. This week, it's a lot better, but I understand this concept when, like, this one little part is injured, it can kind of take you all down. You know, the whole thing really has a hard time working. And so we're going to dig into this thought today. What Paul really wants us to see, too, is how we interact with one another and how we actually interact with ourselves, where we kind of fight against the Spirit. And the two common themes that I want you to really see in this passage is, one, a lot of times people have a hard time, or they have a hard time grasping that they belong. And then the other part is, man, if you have any gifts or if you think kind of highly of yourself, it's hard for you not to think, I'm self-sufficient. I don't need you guys. Paul's going to speak to both those people, which a lot of times, that's us. Both those people can be in the same person, where we're like, man, I don't belong in this crowd. I don't feel like I measure up. Or I just feel excluded for whatever reason. I don't belong here. And then if I do something great or, whatever it is, all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, I don't need y'all. I'm self-sufficient. I can do this Christian walk on my own. And Paul's going to come in to destroy that and says, you need the Spirit. And you need each other. So let me pray for us. And we're going to read some parts of the passage and see what Paul's talking about. Let's ask God to help us. Spirit, you work in amazing ways. It's you who reveal truth to us. God, it's you, Holy Spirit, who opens our eyes to see you. It's you, Spirit, who makes us understand even what's going on in the depths of our soul and brings clarity to where you're working. God, this morning, so many of us are, we in so many ways can kind of feel lost and turned around and flipped over and really just, we're kind of grasping at how this last week went. Or some of us, we feel like we're on top of the world and we just don't, honestly, we haven't had to pray because we didn't need you this week, or that's how we felt. So Spirit, would you come into this place? Would you reveal yourself to us in your word so that you would be glorified, that you would be lifted up, and that we might have life? That would you help us in this time? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're in 1 Corinthians 12. If you have a Bible, I encourage you to open it up. Right before this section in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is talking about gifts that the Spirit gives to every single person in the church. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you put your belief in him, the way he starts chapter 12 is he says, every single one of you has a gift. From day one, the moment you've believed, the moment the Spirit works in you, you've been given a gift. And then Paul's going to come into the section that we just read, and he's going to say, and here's how this works together. The Spirit's given you gifts, and this is what he does. Let's start. What I want to start with is I want to look at what the Spirit does in this passage. And we're going to read verses 13, 12 and 13. So if you have your Bibles, or if you don't, you can look on the screen here. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 12:12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. He starts with an amazing truth to this passage. He says, hey, the way the Spirit's worked in you started with your baptism. You were baptized into the Spirit. It's actually Jesus even told us, when we baptize, we should baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And Paul brings out, when you came to life in Jesus Christ, it was like you were immersed in God himself. You were immersed in the Spirit. The first thing that the Spirit does with us is he brings us to life. And he brings us not to life in isolation. He makes us part of a family. The Christian life he's going to begin with cannot and never was designed to do yourself. It was never designed to be like that. I know there's mottos for all, like from all types of worlds, but from the army to the ranger, like I've seen a ranger quote that says, like, lone rangers are dead rangers. Like, it's like the way the world works a lot of times is if you try to do it on your own, it's going to be a hard time making it. The Spirit, when we're baptized in the Spirit, what the Spirit does is he makes us alive and he puts us into community. He puts us into this family. And he's saying, Paul's going to say, what does this look like? And verse 12 is where he says, let me give you the perfect picture. On your body, you have a lot of different members of your body, whether it's your arm, the ones you can't see inside of yourself, the heart, the liver, the pancreas. We have all these members and parts of our bodies, but what are we? We're still one body. And then he says, so it is with Christ. What he's saying is, that's the picture that he wants you to see in this whole passage. He wants you to see his body in this whole passage. And it's going to get a little bizarre because you probably heard the passage. You know, the eye is going to start talking to the hand and the foot is going to start talking to the, you know, another body part. But he's going to show us in this whole passage this picture of the body. And he wants you to get the unity that the Spirit gives us. One, he makes us alive and puts us in a family. And then that the same Spirit unites us. He makes us one body. This is what the Spirit's work in this passage is. And it makes us alive, puts us in this family called the church. He's given us all gifts, and he unites us. We're one body. That's the picture. That's the work that he's giving. He doesn't go into a lot of the other works that the Spirit does because they're outside of kind of this picture that he's giving in the body. But we actually know from a lot of Scripture. Let me just read you a few things that we know from the Scripture that he does. The Holy Spirit teaches us. He brings all truth, all spiritual truth into our minds. You can read this in Psalm 143, John 14 through 16. That's chapters 14 through 16. Acts 9, Acts 13, Acts 15. It's all over the place. The Holy Spirit also, one of the works he does, is he empowers us to make disciples and to bear witness to him. We see this all over the New Testament from Acts 1 to Romans 8, Ephesians 3. The Holy Spirit helps us kill our sin. We need that. All of us need help putting certain things that are killing us to death. One of my favorite authors actually at this point, his name is John Owen. He says, be killing sin or sin will be killing you. I mean, we're seeing it all over the news, aren't we? I mean, recently it's like this, you know, Weinstein, this senator, this person, this on and on. Sin's getting revealed, and what we're seeing is just brokenness. It's destroying people. That's what sin does. So the Holy Spirit, we get to see that in Romans 8. It helps us kill our own sin that we need help to do. The Holy Spirit convicts people of sin. That's one of the best things. If you want to know you're a Christian, you should feel bad. Some people come to me sometimes and they're like, I just can't get over this sin and I hate it. I'm like struggling. Like, I don't even know if I'm a Christian. I was like, I'd be concerned if you weren't here and you weren't feeling bad. You know, the process of you going, man, I screwed up again. I did that thing that I just wanted to, you know, stop. I've told God, hey, if you forgive me this one more time, I will like live for your pleasure. I'll do, you know, I vow to never do this thing again. And then you do it the very next day. The conviction itself is a sign of God's working in your life. He convicts you of sin. One work he does is he gives life and freedom. This is, again, Romans 8 is a chapter you just need to read. Romans 8, 2 Corinthians 3. The Spirit just works and works and works in amazing ways. We need the Holy Spirit in our life. Some of us, he's been kind of called the neglected person of the Trinity. Have like thought, you know, we're just going to do the Christian life on our own. You know, discipleship is all about me doing my walk with Jesus. The Spirit will walk with you. You know, the way to, you know, become more and more like Jesus, it's kind of outside you. Every day you need to meet with God and you need to say, Holy Spirit, would you convict me? Would you show me your truth? Would you empower me? It's interesting that when we start understanding the Holy Spirit, we start understanding the Christian life is not necessarily one that just we do. It's one we do with the Holy Spirit, with God himself. He walks, he empowers us. It's an incredible reality. But back to the picture. Paul doesn't say everything that the Holy Spirit does in this passage. He says, but what he does here with the local church is he brings you to life. And in that life, he brings you into life together. He doesn't bring you to life as the Lone Ranger Christian, as like, you know what, I can do my Christian walk on my own. I've been burnt by other people, so I just don't need church anymore. We're going to see how he answers some of these things, these questions. God's Spirit walks with us, brings us to life, empowers us, and makes us one. So let's see this, who he's going to talk to. He's going to talk to two different people in this passage. The first is, he's going to talk to people that go, I don't feel like I belong. So let's look at this. This is in verse 14 through 16. Paul says this, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. And here the foot's going to start talking here. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of a body. Do you see how like simple Paul writes here? He's like, I'm going to tell you one, if you don't feel like you belong, he's just saying that's not true. How ridiculous would it be if, you know, here the foot says, nah, I'm not a hand, so I'm not part of the body. Or if the ear says, I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body. Paul's going to say, first off, that question of belonging that a lot of us have, both the foot and the ear in this passage, what do they say? I do not belong to the body. There's always, within every single church, there's people that don't feel like they belong. And if you're honest with yourself, you have those doubts. You wonder, where do I fit? Where does, you know, my gifts that God's given me, I don't even think I see any. I don't know what they are. I don't feel like I belong. That is a normal question. Even within those of us who feel pretty confident, there are times in our life where belonging is a legitimate question. And what the Holy Spirit does for us is it says that's not true. I have made you in a very particular way. I have given you a very particular gifting and set of gifts. And yes, foot, you might not be a hand. And yes, ear, you might not be an eye. But you belong. I have made you belong. I have gifted you. The body would not work properly without you. Every single one of us has times where we have this question. And Paul here brings up, I think, that belonging does not come from comparison. So here's what the first truth that I want you to hear. The best way to feel like you belong is to stop comparing yourself to others. Belonging doesn't, it's not like we start thriving and go, man, I really belong. The more and more I really think about that friend of mine and all his giftings, the more I feel like I belong. No. Every single one of us knows, man, I stink at that part of, you know, my life. And you know others that are like thriving in this part. Comparison will never help you belong. Never. So Paul, the first thing I think that we can get from this passage is stop comparing yourself to others. Don't do the ear and the foot thing where the foot's like looking at the hand and don't look, you know, the ear, look at the eye. We're made, we're different. And you know who made us that way? God himself. And you know what? He didn't do it because he like didn't give you certain gifts because he's like, you know what? I kind of want them to feel small in their life. kind of feel like they're not as good as other people. That'll make them humble. So I'll like give them these real bad gifts. I want that foot to step on mud all the time. You know, that's not how God is. God has designed you in a way that I hope you find is incredible. Belonging does not come through comparison. It becomes at really evaluating how God made you. Really considering, maybe I am really fearfully and wonderfully made. Maybe God gave me every single thing that he wants me to have for the thriving not only of myself, but for other people. We start thriving in our life when we stop comparing and we start understanding that we belong to God himself. It starts with understanding that he has made you, that he has owned you, that you belong with him, and the Holy Spirit does that. The Holy Spirit takes up residence with us. He comes and the scripture tells followers of Jesus Christ, those who believe in him, he'll live with you. He'll just be with you. All the time. One of my favorite pictures in Revelation is Jesus actually is talking to a church. And these people know Jesus. But he says, you know, I stand at the door and knock. And if you would like let me come in, I would just be with you. I would dine with you. I would take up my residence in your house. That is what we need. We need to just be with God. And his Holy Spirit does that with us. When we start understanding that we belong to God, we start fitting into the body better. We start operating in a way like the body should, the foot will start walking and take the proper step. And we won't just move around as a church like limping around because I'm not using my gifts. Because, you know, I'm not a hand. So, you know, I'm not a hand. But it's like when the foot starts understanding God made me in a particular awesome way, the whole thing does a great job. You know, it's a great, awesome thing that the body starts walking, starts moving how it's proper to do. Think about the whole ear thing. You know, if the ear stopped working, I would hate, you know, if I'm playing tennis with Brad, he's going to just, you know, the ball, I won't hear the ball coming. I might be able to see the ball coming, but what if I can't see it and it just hits me in my face? We don't want that. The ear has a job to do. The eye has a job to do. And when we understand we belong with God, we start thriving as not just ourselves, but as a body. Read this in 17, the next section, 17 through 20. So he's following up on this and he says, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. This section really highlights God's work in the way he has made us, the Spirit's work, in the way he set us up in this picture of the body. And what he wants you to know is God arranged every person. He's put you at the exact place that he wants it. I love how it says, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body. Some of us still have problems with this. You know, personally, there are things that I know that I need to grow in my walk. And when I see, you know, Tyler preach or other guys do certain things that I'm like, I wish I was better at this part of my life or this gifting. And some of you may have the same thing. You go, look, I'm not, you know, I just feel like I don't have these useful gifts. It just seems completely hidden. Maybe I don't think I'm totally cast off, but I really do feel like I just want to be better. Is that so bad? And I think what Paul wants us to do is he's not going to necessarily address that. Is he's going to say, why don't you take that to God? God has arranged you in a particular way, and he has designed you in a way that is beautiful. Why don't you just tell him, God, I wish I was doing more for your kingdom in some way, or whatever it is. God, I wish I was smarter. I wish I could communicate better. I wish I didn't always kind of make a fool of myself, you know, whatever it is that you feel awkward at times, you feel like other people just are better in this way. I think Paul just wants you to go meet with God himself and ask the one who arranged you, that made you. Some of us, the reason we don't feel like we belong is honestly, we actually haven't dug into ourselves deep enough. The world calls this emotional intelligence. Some of you have just been operating, and because you're on Facebook a lot and Instagram and you work and you have a family and you have an incredible social life, you never stop. You never think about how you were made or what you were made for. The question just, who am I? You know, the Spirit will help you with that. Some of you might not feel like you have any gifts because you haven't really had time to either listen to others. Other people probably see some gifts. Or you haven't had time to listen to God himself. Belonging will come from listening. We need more silence in our life, is what that means. Don't y'all feel like that? Don't y'all need to stop more with your life? To cut off the phone, to unplug the computer, to turn off your 6 hours of binge watching Stranger Things, you know, or whatever Netflix show you like. Don't you agree? There might be something that we can help this world with, is showing what a world of silence can look like. I'm not saying complete silence all the time, but maybe we need to get to know ourselves better, and then maybe we'll start appreciating ourselves more. Maybe we just don't appreciate ourselves because we haven't dug deep enough. God is offering you the chance to see how he made you, and it is beautiful. It is an incredible thing. The second thing that Paul's going to tell us in this passage is some of us, we don't completely understand it, but we finally get, man, I belong. But once you get to a place of belonging, sometimes you can swing and you can go, man, I belong. I'm awesome. Man, the church, if they lost me, goodness, it would crumble. Or, you know, if my friend group lost me, they probably wouldn't laugh anymore or have any deep conversation or whatever you had. You start feeling the opposite. You start feeling self-sufficient. Oh man, I belong. I'm pretty awesome. Well, Paul's going to crush down that person. So he's going to say, no, don't swing that way. Look at verse 21 here. So here comes the eye. You know how the ear had some problems with the eyes? Yeah, now the eye, you can kind of see maybe why the ear had wanted to be the eye. But the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. On those parts, the body that we think less honorable, we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which are more presentable parts, do not require. This is neat. So now we get the eye. You know, the ear was like, I want to be like the eye. But honestly, it looks like the eye has some, you know, pride issues. He's pretty self-sufficient because he's like, man, I don't need you, you know, hand. Which you're like, you know, now you're going to just eat off a plate. You know, it's ridiculous the way you think. Self-sufficiency in God's kingdom, if we're really a body, we can never say that to another person. The eye is stuck up here and he's like, man, I have no need of you, hand. The head is saying to the feet, I have no need of you. The last section, did you see what was said? I don't belong. This section, what's the phrase that both the eye and the head say? I don't need you. Self-sufficiency will kill community. And honestly, it will make you revert to wondering if you belong. Over time, you will know if you are being self-sufficient. You're pretending. You need God's Spirit to work in you. And there will get a moment where you'll go, I don't belong. You may be self-sufficient and thinking, I don't belong. God works in his people, not you. Like, you are not designed to just make the church happen all in your strength, all in your gifts. The other part that we see from this passage is, you know what? The eye is just believing a total lie. The eye does need the hand. When you flip the truth, it's really interesting. Self-sufficient people literally cut off the very thing they need. Let me say that one more time. Self-sufficient people that think, I can just do this church thing on my own. I don't really even need church. Like, I'll kind of be there when I want there, whatever. You are stopping the very thing you need. You need relationships with other people that can speak into your life. What we can see Paul saying in this passage is, you know what, the hand is really important for you. You do need the hand. Whenever we get to ourselves, and this can happen again by comparison. Comparison does no good things. And we look around and we go, man, that person's like good for nothing. They just kind of seem like a drag in my social environment. Why don't they ever, like, they're always messing up. Or whatever it is, it's this person in your life, I'm telling you, God has put them there for a reason. And you need that person. I think this section really challenges us in terms of the way we come to church and the way we live in community. Some of us just on a whim, you know, Sundays are just a whim. If I'm there, I'm there. If I'm not, I'm not. You know, community, like living an actual kind of like Christian biblical community with someone, and I'm not just necessarily being in part of a community group. I mean like loving other people intentionally. And that happens a lot of times in community groups. So if you're not in one, I would recommend, please get part of a community group. But for a lot of us, being part of the body seems like, whatever. I don't need these people. I don't need this. I don't need it this week. I don't need to be there. That's a lie. Paul will not allow you to do that. The Spirit does not work in that way. The Spirit has made every single person in this room, every person that's not here, that's involved in our church, and he's gifted them in a way that is so loving to each one of us. You know the reason I should be at church is because I need to be around y'all. I, Tanner Griffith, need you. if it ever was like, you know, I don't need to be kind of showing up and being in community. I don't need to be around you guys often. That's wrong. That's evil. God has made us where we actually need one another. And when I show up to church, not only do I need you, you know what? You need me. And you need the person that's sitting beside of you that believes in Jesus Christ. We're meant to be this body that when every single one of us is loving each other and uplifting one another, man, we walk, we thrive, we're a body that moves. But man, once the foot stops working, we start limping. We need you to use your gifts. Every single one of you that has put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit has made you alive. He's brought you into this family and he's gifted you. We need you to use your gifts at this church. Next week, we're talking about particular giftings. That's what we're going to talk about. Please either listen to it, and you can get every single one of our sermons on our app, the Midtown sermons, not only the Downtown sermons. You can go to the website. You can get our sermons. Stay, if you're out of town, listen to that. We're talking about what are the particular gifts that the Spirit gives us. We need you to live in this in light of the way God has gifted you. Let me say this, just a really quick thought. The Spirit destroys self-sufficiency. So the way to get over self-sufficiency is listen to God again. Quiet down. I really think it's going to happen in silence. We're going to listen to what God is speaking to you through his word and through prayer. He's going to kill self-sufficiency in you. If you feel like you're there, man, pray. Meet with God. Pull out the sword of the Spirit. And he'll talk to you. The last part is the verse that I would say just stood out to me the most. And I don't think I put this slide up, so I don't know if you mind going back to the first slide, Brad. It's verse 13. But as I was back in the back, it's like this one verse just stood out to me, and it's 12:13. It says, "For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit." To maybe get your attention, there's a lot of liquid in verse 13. We're baptized. We are immersed into the Spirit. That's what our salvation looks like. It's just being fully covered by God himself. And what it does is it takes Jews and Greeks, these nations, here's a race thing going on. And what it does is it obliterates Jew, Greek, slave, free. It doesn't obliterate culture, but it obliterates the divisions. In God, we actually find our unity. We are immersed into the Spirit. We're baptized in the Spirit. And every one of us is made to just drink and drink and drink the Spirit. That is an awesome reality. The Spirit has made us and brought us to life in a lot of water, like liquid. He baptized us and he covered us and he's loved us. And we see that name, his love to us, how he opens our eyes to what Jesus Christ has done on the cross where Jesus took our sins and he gave us his righteousness by raising up from the dead. And he helps us see what the Father had planned and his great love towards us. And then all we're made to do is just drink that reality. We're supposed to soak in the reality that God is for us. He is with us. And he will sustain us. He has made us each individually in the way that he has made us, and he's put us in this body, and he wants us to use our gifts so that we glorify him. So take this, take his word, and pray. Consider what are you supposed to do with this? Where are you convicted? Where should you use your gifts? Have you been meeting with God himself? I think that's where I would start. Listen to him, and you might find out a lot about yourself, not only him. Let me pray. God, you have made us in the exact way that you've wanted. We are not a mistake. God, we are not flawed in the way that we are perfectly made. God, you have made us in a way that we can say, man, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. You've made us, and we belong to be with you. God, would you, Holy Spirit, work in this room? Would you move and convict in the way that you want to move? And would you help us respond to you? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.